Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Man, it's so great to have our friend George Blackard back in the house. He's filled in for us several times here on Montana Talks, and I know folks always love it when George Blackard is on this show. But yeah, on this Freedom Friday, it's great to have George in the house. He moved down to Texas a few months ago, but he's back here in Montana as we speak. So I'm like, George, you got to come join us on the radio. Yeah, George, it's so good to see you because, man, I can't tell you, there's been so many different news stories that, I would love to hear George's take on this. I'd love to hear George's take on that. If I could think one of the biggest news stories here, especially from a Freedom Friday perspective, you know, you're a Navy veteran, I'm an Army veteran. Man, I mean, the Army's recruitment numbers. And we knew this was going to happen with right. The election of President Trump, with Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth. I went on the Jesse Kelly show. I said, you're going to see a massive surge in recruitment and retention. The Army had their best recruitment in 15 years last month in January. Yeah. But the Navy's doing it now, too.
They are. And the Army in December had a huge month. And somebody asked me just last week, well, why is that? They saw the story. And I said, well, because people want to serve their country, but they want to serve under a commander-in-chief that is strong and knows what he's doing and isn't afraid to do the right thing and isn't, bowing to foreign influence. And then you take that person and then you put Pete Hegseth in there. And, man, I tell you, if I've talked to Pete Hegseth before, and he's very interesting. He's very smart. He's a very nice guy. I saw him here in Billings.
I think I met him at the same event you did. Yeah,
and I stood in the back of the room, and I talked to him for probably a half an hour. And at the end, I said, I apologize for taking up so much of your time. And he said, don't apologize. I had a great conversation. And he's a real down-to-earth sort of person. And everybody I know that's ever met him thinks that of him. So I think, you've got that. You're seeing the shakeup, too. So the Navy announced you can no longer be transgender and be in the Navy anymore, which is great. It shouldn't have been there to begin with. But now that we're getting rid of all that nonsense and we're going back to focusing on fighting wars, keeping our country safe, and the true mission of a military, well, that excites people.
Yeah.
You know, you might remember there was a Army recruiting commercial a couple of years ago that was a cartoon. It was animated. And it starts out, you don't know what the hell they're talking about. It says, my two moms, and this, and this, and this, and then finally I joined the Army. And then I saw a new one, and this was a comparison, and the new one has a guy lifting weights, and he's huge, and he's pumping iron. And he just looks at the camera and goes, because strong people are harder to kill.
Oh, nice. That's awesome.
I'm like,
what
a
contrast. Yeah.
Exactly.
And at the same time, they were pushing this cartoonish recruiting message. They were kicking patriots to the curb for refusing to get the jab. And then they wonder why their recruitment numbers went into the tank. But they're skyrocketing now. I'll give you the Navy numbers right after this. And we've got phone lines open for you. 294-0970.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, George, so I had to go in and pull up the numbers because, since we got to talking about recruiting numbers here, and the U.S. Army had their best January in 15 years. And I think there's absolutely no coincidence that Donald J. Trump got elected president, Pete Hegseth, a warrior's warrior, as Secretary of Defense. And so no surprise at all. The Navy also, I saw this. This was from February 19th. The Navy Recruiting Command shared this on X. Best start in 20-plus years. Not only has the Navy shipped more than 12,750 sailors to boot camp during the first 4 months of the fiscal year, We've contracted more than 14,000 future sailors, the most since 2002, which, of course, 2002, I mean, that's when I joined the military because it was right after 9/11. So that's when so many Americans said, you know what? I may not be the best potential soldier out there. I may not be the most disciplined. I may, you know, maybe I didn't think the military was for me a few years ago. There's better people to serve than me. But you know what? I'm going to serve anyway because that's what was the calling, right, after 9/11. So, yeah, it's interesting that biggest boost in recruiting since 9/11 for the Navy. Crazy.
That is crazy. That's incredible. But, you know, they're getting back to their mission, and that interests people. And, you know, this whole transgender thing and all that, that doesn't do anything but cause a distraction for everybody. And those people, you know, I'm not even going to go there.
Yeah.
It just is a distraction. But people are signing up now because they're not going to have that type of distraction anymore, and they can get in there and focus on what the real mission is.
Well, and just from a practical standpoint, to have a soldier get an elective surgery like that, I want to chop off my you-know-what, or I want to take these drugs to grow you-know-what, that puts you as non-deployable. You are out of commission for at least a year in a four-year enlistment. So what are you doing for your country? You spent the first year just trying to get through basic training and your advanced training for your specific MOS or specialty. And then now you spend another year getting your little you-know-what surgery that we the people should never pay for in the first place. So 2 years of your 4 years, and you still haven't even gone to your first duty station yet, practically. I mean, it just makes no sense whatsoever.
No, it doesn't. And, you know, here's the thing. You have to look at and people can say all they want, but you have to look at their mental readiness along with this. And you mentioned the Army officer, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was the Army's first ever transgender officer. And then he got busted for basically giving all this classified information to one of America's enemies.
Right.
So he obviously had some mental issues, right?
Right. And, you know, but that shows you his alliances or his commitment didn't lie with the country and the military. It lied with his agenda and whatever group that was, you know, and that's why he did it, to get back at the country. And those people are targets. So make no mistake, when you are that way, if you are struggling financially, I mean, if there's anything in your life that you're struggling with, foreign actors target those people because, you know, they will give them money, they'll give them attention, they'll give them all these things, and that's how they coerce them into doing that.
That's why, in order to have a security clearance, they'll check certain things like, okay, how in debt are you? Hey, oh, all of a sudden this guy's come up with a lot of money. Where's he getting this money from all of a sudden, right?
Right.
Let's see. You know, it was interesting, too. Just this past weekend, I won't use their names over the air, but I ran into some friends. We were, you know, taking the family bowling, and the bowling alley was packed, so we went and got lunch, and we ran into some friends, and their son is about to join the U.S. Coast Guard when he gets out of high school, which was so cool. And the mom said to us, she says, you know, a year ago, I probably would have discouraged him from joining the, you know, something like
right.
the military. She's like, but right now it's like, you go ahead. That's great. And that's what was happening all across this country, is that if you were a patriot, it felt like you had a target on your back, and then you were going to be exposed to all this woke garbage and have it shoved down your throat. So, but now patriotic parents are saying, you know what? Yeah, go serve your country.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. You know, and you just reminded me of something, Aaron. A shout out to someone. Talk about speaking to your country. My neighbor down in Texas, passed away last week. His name was Frank Hawthorne. He was retired from the Coast Guard. He went in, enlisted, became an officer. You know, he's been over the Arctic a bunch of times. The guy was a great neighbor, and he was so smart, so kind, everything. And just, you know, my heart goes out to his wife and Marilyn and the family. And it's a big loss, because he was one of those special people that everybody would want for a neighbor.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. We had a guy, he's a former FBI Hispanic gang expert. And, you know, he lives in Montana now, but he's the expert on Tren de Aragua, this violent Venezuelan prison gang. And he actually reached out to me to be on the show because I think we just had Stacy Zinn on the show, the former head of the DEA, and we were talking about Tren de Aragua being in Montana. And he said, hey, you know, some friends of mine encouraged me to reach out to you to be on your show because, you know, here's my background. I was like, oh, man, that'd be great. Yeah, come join us on the show. So the last time he was with us, we were talking about the drug-related arrests in Wolf Point, Montana. So off air, I said, hey, by the way, I'm always interested. Who told you to be on the show? He's like, oh, man, we've got this neighbor. He runs the HOA and everything. He is the best guy, just like the neighbor you just got. He's a former Army Ranger, and, oh, man, he listens to your show. I was like, holy cow. Like, that's the type of incredible American patriots that we get a chance to talk with every day on a show like this. It's pretty humbling when you think about it. So shout out to that neighbor. I want to get him on the show for Veterans Day or something here soon. Grandpa Lou.
Montana.
So apparently Joe Rogan talked about a mysterious Montana landmark on his Joe Rogan podcast. Where is it? What is it? The answer, MontanaTalks.com.
Serving the great state of Montana. From the peaks of the Bear Tooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Fleck.
Oh, this is great. George is a Navy veteran. I'm an Army veteran. Now we got Grandpa Lou on the phone lines in Billings. He's a Marine Corps veteran. Now where's the Space Force guys at? Where's the Air Force guys at? You can call Coasties 2-406-294-0970 on this Freedom Friday. Grandpa Lou, great to hear from you. What's going on?
Hey, I just wanted to call in real quick and thank you and your brother George for your service and to everyone deployed. And I was listening to the show on Tuesday with the Joker, and was Tampon Tim going to be in Montana somewhere this Saturday night?
You know, I thought it was this Saturday, but did I read somewhere that Tampon Tim was already in Helena? Did they already have the dinner? Or I thought it was March 1st, but maybe it already happened. I don't know.
Well, what I wanted to do is I wanted to plan a road trip with you, the Joker, and Grandpa Lou will ride shotgun, pop the cold ones, and we need to bring David Noble with us, too, for backup, because he's an attorney.
and to D.D. Yeah, he's
talking iced tea.
Oh, yeah. Well, we'd still need a designated driver anyway, because we'll be too busy yapping. Yeah. That'd be great. Yeah, okay, it will be March 1st in Helena. I thought I saw something on Twitter about that made it look like it already happened. So, oh, that'd be funny. Yeah, so Grandpa Lou, great to hear from you. So Tim Walz, for those who don't know who Tampon Tim is, everybody knows who Tampon Tim is. The guy, the governor of Minnesota who put tampons in the third grade boys' bathrooms in the schools. The Democrats said, yeah, let's make him our vice presidential candidate. And now the Montana Democrats are saying, yeah, let's make him be our keynote speaker Saturday night.
Ooh, they're scraping the bottom of the barrel there.
Oh, my goodness.
Holy cow.
So if you missed it, George, because you were probably still down in Texas or something, but we had John Jackson in with us on Tuesday. So I said, hey, is somebody going to dress up in a big Tampon Tim outfit? You know, outside of the dinner in Helena. And then Greg Franks had messaged the Joker and I and said, you know, somebody's just going to airdrop tampons. There's going to be tampons flying everywhere out of C-130s over Helena, you know, welcoming Tampon Tim to Helena.
Oh, that's great. Well, you know, I heard he's not running for office again is what I heard. I don't know. You never know about these people. But, you know, it's... The smart ones are keeping their mouths shut, Aaron. They're not going out giving speeches and talking to anybody right now. So that tells you. I think that rumor may be true that he's not running for any office after this.
Hey, by the way, speaking of Grandpa Lou, you were reminiscing during the break. So you guys remember when the Yellowstone International Air Show was going? And I'm not trying to rub it in, but, man, it was so incredible. I got a chance to fly with the U.S. Navy's Blue Angels. Did you know, George, I flew with the Blue Angels?
We've all heard that.
Did I tell you I flew with the Blue Angels? Have you seen the video of me flying with the Blue Angels?
Twice, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, but no, I forgot because we did a live radio show from the airport. I think we were at the Edwards Jet Center. They were gracious enough to allow us to use their facility. And so we did a show from there. And then all of a sudden, here comes Grandpa Lou with goodies.
Oh, my God. I remembered that right off the bat when I heard he was on the phone because he comes in. It's still, dark 30, right? It's still dark. He comes in. He's got pastries. He's got all this.
City Brew coffee. Just
coffee, the whole nine yards. And he pulls out a bag, and he goes, here, have one of these. And it was a bag of steaks. I was like, you know, most people won't even give you a bite of jerky, right? But he pulls out a whole bag. Just grab one of these. Have a steak. So I reach in, standing there, just chewing on a steak, holding it in my hand. It was great. I'll never forget that.
Well, that's like, speaking of jerky, I got some Craig's Smokehouse jerky here out of Savage, Montana that our friend Tim Tharp brought in because he's out getting ready for Class C basketball at the Metro right now. So he dropped some of that by, and our producer, Caden, comes tiptoeing into the studio. It's instead of stapler, he's like, jerky. I was like, yeah, get in here. Get in on some of this jerky.
Heck, so, you know, that's cool doing this. And I know you get to do it all the time and you see people. But when you go all over the state and you get to meet these people and there's just so many colorful and wonderful, friendly people that you meet. I used to do it, you know, in the Legion, going around giving speeches, going to meetings. But, you know, when you're out there, it's just cool to meet these people.
It really is. Even last year, I did events. I did over probably 105 events across the state and then live radio shows to go with it all over the state. But, man, just meeting and seeing people, it re-energizes you and reinvigorates everything, and it's so fun. And like Francis and Big Fork called in the other day, and it reminded me, you know, Jim Jordan, I got to MC the Jim Jordan event and then go to a little event afterwards. And so here we are, and Francis is sitting in the center of the living room, and then there's Jim Jordan giving a talk. And then, oh, there's Nick Faldo, ladies and gentlemen. Nick Faldo, legendary golfer, Nick Faldo. So Francis and Big Fork and Nick Faldo.
Fantastic.
Trump would not call that a beautiful British accent.
No.
He would not call that one.
That's all right. Yeah, I don't know. Watch it. He'll be coming over to take over your house pretty soon, Aaron.
Who's that?
Trump.
He's
going to make your house the second White House.
That'd be awesome.
There you go.
He'd probably make some nice improvements.
Well, it's crazy because people hit me with that one all the time. They're like, I think the guy's crazy. He's obviously crazy. He wants to take over Canada and make it the 51st state. And I'm like, he said that, but what was he really trying to do? And then after he says something like that, a couple days later, whoever it is, they bend and give him whatever it was he was looking for.
It's the art of the deal. It's
the art of the deal.
Strategy.
Exactly. So, you know, people that get fired up about that, instead of just losing your mind saying, that guy's crazy, say, what's he really going after and what's he going to say next? That's what you should be doing because the guy knows what he's doing when it comes to that.
Yeah, that's right. You know, we were talking about Grandpa Lou bringing the goodies up to the air show when we were doing our show, you know, a couple years ago. Paul in Belgrade wants to know who brought the not-so-goodies to the White House. Paul, what's going on? Thanks for the call.
Hi, yes. I was just wondering if you had any information, because I listened to Dan Bongino a little bit and was just wondering if there was any information or if Trump was going to look into that, because I listened to Bongino and he said they absolutely know who brought it in. There's no way they can.
So you're talking about...
He was in the Secret Service.
Yeah, who brought the cocaine to the White House?
When Joe Biden was there.
Or say it again, George.
When Joe Biden was there.
Yeah, when Joe Biden was there, who brought the cocaine to the White House?
They know who that was. There's no doubt.
How could they not?
They know.
How could they not?
They know, and I'm sure all those people are rolling their eyes. The ones that, you know, CIA and Secret Service, they're just rolling, Secret Service, rolling their eyes.
Yeah. So, Paul, did you see yesterday, you know, everybody was waiting for these Epstein, you know, the Epstein list to get released. And I wonder if they deliberately did this whole stunt yesterday just to expose the FBI once again, right? Because they give these social media influencers these binders of the Epstein flight logs, and the whole thing was like blacked out.
Because, and anyway, now Attorney General Pam Bondi is saying that she was lied to by the FBI, and Kash Patel is now coming out and saying, hey, we're going to fix this, and Dan Bongino will soon be the deputy director of the FBI. They're going to fix this. So
that's what I wanted to talk
isn't
about.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Paul, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you.
So, yeah. So the great thing is, and it could be a little bit of a dog and pony show, but, you know, she requested all these papers on that. She got about 200 of them, and she expected like something like 1,300 pages. She knew she didn't get them all. And she sent a letter to Kash Patel and said, you have 14 days to get me what I asked for and find out who's responsible, and I want to know what you're doing about it. So she put him on notice. You got 14 days to do this. One, get me the stuff I asked for. Two, figure out who didn't do it. And three, what are you going to do?
Yeah, and stop blacking out all the information. I mean, why is this considered classified anyway? Like, these elites were going to Epstein's Island and doing all sorts of nefarious
there's
activities.
There's politicians and elites, and there's all kinds of stuff in there, I'm sure. And that's why it's secret. Ken Bongino.
Bongino's going to do a great job.
That was the best news I've heard this week.
People are going to miss him on the radio, but I tell you what, he's going to go in there and really help clean up the Washington headquarters of the FBI and get them refocused on their mission. But Kelly up in Glasgow, he had a great message about this whole Epstein story. He's like, you know, we've got young kids here on the High Line that, you know, made a stupid mistake, got in trouble with the law. He said they have had more severe consequences than any of these people, these elites, and the completely outrageous, unlawful activities that they're responsible for.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, it's a multi-tiered justice system, and hopefully they're going to take a few of those tears out of there. But that's the way it's been for a long time.
Well, we've been having a nice conversation here with George, but I think I'm going to try to get George a little fired up this morning on this Freedom Friday. Have you guys heard? So there's an article at thedailycaller.com. Former U.S. Special Forces member details the Biden administration's oversight flaws that funneled millions to terrorism. I don't think this was a lack of oversight. I think they knew exactly what they were doing. But I want to talk DOGE and all of the fraud, waste, and abuse that's being uncovered. Every day we get more outrageous waste that's being uncovered by DOGE. Senator Tim Sheehy met with Elon Musk and the DOGE team at the White House. Here's what he said after the meeting via X.
Hey, buddy, we just had a great meeting at the White House with Elon Musk and his DOGE team, giving us great updates, factual updates about what they're doing to literally save this country. 22 million people who are dead, who are still receiving Social Security and health care benefits paid out by you, the taxpayer. So every single taxpayer should be upset about the fact that their hard-earned money that they are giving to their government is literally being sent to criminals, fraudsters, foreign countries, and everyone should be livid about that. So we're going to get it fixed, and Elon's doing a great job.
And, of course, you can add terrorists to the list. We've got that audio and much more coming up after this. Plus, we'll get to your phone calls. In fact, first up on the phone lines after this, Brad Molnar in Laurel. Stand by. We'll get to you on this Freedom Friday.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
As Congress works to draft a farm bill that farmers and ranchers would like to see passed this year, American Sheep Industry Association President Ben LaFelt, a Montana rancher, testified to the Senate Agriculture Committee this week on several issues impacting the sheep industry, one of those being risk management tools.
The only thing we've had to work with the last few years are, you know, end result management tools, LIP, you know, LFP, something that's already happened. In the sheep industry, we don't have that upfront ability to insure our product. We don't have a futures market. So we made sure that the Senate Ag Committee knew that and that there was a directive, and that I think Senator Bozeman is online and making sure that we have something. So if we have that boardwalk, that springboard in our farm bill, then we can have direct that message from our legislators to say, hey, they have this directive. Let's do it. We need it done. This is an industry that doesn't have that upfront risk protection.
If you'd like to watch or listen to my entire conversation on the steps of the U.S. Capitol with Montana rancher Ben LaFelt, president of the American Sheep Industry Association, check out my Facebook page, Lane Nordlund, Ag Broadcaster. From Washington, D.C., I'm Lane Nordlund. Have a great day, everyone.
Mm-hmm. taking your calls live. 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, Fred in the Flathead talking about, you know, the Epstein list and Pam Bondi, Attorney General Pam Bondi, Fred in the Flathead, and he's a smart guy, so I trust that this information is accurate here. He says, slight correction, Pam Bondi ordered the missing materials by 0830 Eastern today, and then a report on why the orders were not followed due in 14 days. So that sounds like that would be tracking there. So either way, she's demanding some answer as to why they were supposed to be giving her this information, and then they give her a big blacked-out binder full of papers.
Right. Well, and to be fair to Cash Patel, this all happened before he really took over. I mean, it's only been in there a couple of days, and she requested that before that. So it really wasn't him. But, you know, they're going to show that they can work together and get to the bottom of that. So I think that's a good thing. And, you know, and I'm sure they're doing some of this for effect. You know, they're firing for effect here, putting on a show to show how strong she is and how willing to cooperate he is. And, you know, I think there's a lot to it.
Yeah, I think there's a lot more going on here as well. Let's go to Brad Molnar, of course, now the president of the Montana Public Service Commission, on the phone lines. Brad, it looks like you're keeping an eye on what's going on in the legislature. Of course, a former state senator yourself as well. What are some of the big highlights you want to share with our listeners?
Just kind of a one-second aside. On Wednesday, I was in Washington, D.C., and I attended the energy conference, and I attended the Montana Coffee. I am reaching out to our delegation, trying to form a working relationship so that federal energy policy and state energy policy are coordinated to where the Montana people don't get lost in the shuffle, and I'm being well received on that. You may recall that about a week ago or so, I called in with great concerns over House Bill 363, which basically said that regulated utilities could pick their regulators, and the people of Montana would lose any meaningful ability to vote for a public service commissioner. That got defeated. I drove through a blinding snowstorm to get there and leave new information before they took their vote, and it got defeated 10-4. And to me, the highlight of that is something you never hear very much. The two heroes in that were Representative Kay Metz and Representative Katie Zolnikoff. Both were co-sponsors of 363. Both reversed and voted about to kill the bill once they heard the facts as to how that would play out. Quite often, you can't get a legislator to admit that he did something right for them to admit they did something wrong publicly and say, you know, I learned more information and I changed my vote is unheard of.
That is pretty cool.
It's more than cool. It actually is heartening.
Yeah, because a lot of people will dig their feet in and they'll say, well, you know, and if somebody says, hey, have you ever thought of another angle on this bill or that? And then they get mad and then they want to fight you because you're not supporting what they want to do, instead of saying, oh, you know what? That's a good point you made.
Yeah, and it's not only rare, it's far too rare. Last night, from 3 o'clock to 8 o'clock, I was online watching the House Energy Committee. Because there's one bill that I have great concerns over. And during that time, and this won't be in the press either, the Republicans and Democrats worked together and passed or killed Republican or Democrat bills. There was no acrimony at all. It was fact-based. What does it say? What does it mean? How is this playing out in other states? It was a business-like meeting, and I was proud.
Oh, very, very cool. Great to hear. I appreciate that. Yeah, so Brad Molnar, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. We've got a couple other callers we want to get to here as well, and phone lines open for you, 294-0970. So, George, the bill that that Brad called in about, I think last week or the week before. Yeah, there was a proposal to change the way we elect our public service commissioners. Right now you have five all elected by districts, so regional districts. So northeastern Montana is in this, northwest Montana is here. This would have, I think, had one member elected from the eastern district, one member from the western district, and then I think the other three would have been appointed by the governor, if I'm not mistaken. I might have gotten the numbers wrong, but you get the gist of it.
Right.
Yeah, that two would have been elected, and then the other, however many would have been appointed. So sounds like they're going to keep it as it is for now.
Well, it should, because if the people are electing them, then that's who they want in there. And as soon as you start appointing people, you know, there's no accountability for that, really. You can appoint who you want, and that does cause problems.
All right, let's see. Next up, we've got, looks like, going by the name Big Rock in Glendive. Big Rock in Glendive. It sounds like used to work for a certain government agency or whatever, so wanting to keep the name out of it. Either way, Big Rock, what's going on? I hope I see you 1 week from today in Glendive.
Well, I hope so, too. Good morning, everybody. Yeah, the reason, everyone wants to know the list. And granted, everyone wants to know whose names were on that list. But the reason it was so redacted is because there are still active Congress members that were on that list. So they kind of have to touch it lightly, I guess you say.
How come, though? Why? Why should they have to? I mean, you had Goldbars Menendez get prosecuted. Why can't these guys have their names out there in the press?
It depends on how many hands they have in how many pockets.
Yeah.
Money talks.
Yeah, that's right. And maybe those people are on key positions that appropriate their budget and that.
They are on key positions. And the whole money sent to all these countries, they have to have a subcommittee to pull those monies and resources together with our president's approval.
You know, it's just crazy. Hey, well, appreciate the phone call. Yeah, Big Rock, hope to see you 1 week from today. I'll be the keynote speaker for the Dawson County Lincoln Reagan dinner. And, man, they've got such a great group out there. Speaker of the House Brandon Lear says he's going to be there because they'll just be breaking from the Montana legislature for their transmittal deadline. So hope to see you as well. I think you can still get some tickets. So get a hold of the Dawson County a Republican Central Committee there. But, yeah, looking forward to seeing all our friends in Glendive. George, I'm going to try to fire you up here before we get to our next caller. I mean, this Doge and all of the fraud, waste, and abuse, it's amazing. I mean, you and I were talking earlier, just the $2 billion that Joe Biden gave to Stacey Abrams' phony green group could have paid for like 100 St. Mary's irrigation projects on the High Line. You know, drinking water and irrigation water for the entire High Line of Montana from Glacier to Fort Peck could have been paid for 100 freaking times with just the money they gave to Stacey Abrams' phony green group alone. Well, what about the USAID money going to terrorists? Oh, and oh, by the way, the Biden regime also was sending tens of millions of dollars a week to the Taliban, and Senator Sheehy is working to bring that to a complete halt. But here you go. Jesse Waters had this last night, a quick clip.
USAID staff cleared out their desks today, and Musk says we've just saved $60 billion. Doge found a $75 million contract for inclusive justice in Colombia, $40 million for indigenous peoples and Afro-Colombian empowerment, another $40 million for female empowerment in Colombia. Pretty sure this money's for cocaine. But don't worry, we're also going to give the Caribbean $3 million for being gay and lesbian. You're gay, and we want you to stay that way. And we still had money left over for terrorists.
Mr. Roman, are you aware that we are sending $40 million a week to the Taliban?
Yes, sir.
Can you name other instances of foreign aid going to terrorist organizations?
We have assisted Al-Shabaab in Somalia. There's been instances of the Khamsi Network in Sudan, Hamas, Islamic Jihad, Hezbollah, Kataiba Hezbollah, Hayat Tahrir al-Shams in Syria. Dozens of terror organizations have received indirect assistance from U.S. foreign aid.
George, that was one of the most outrageous back and forths I think we've seen in a long time. And they even had a guy who worked for USAID who said, yeah, we were telling them, this money needs to have oversight. And they'd tell us, oh, no, we're just going to waive that. No. Just push it through. Just send it. Send it to Gaza.
Yeah. So these are elected politicians and that are sending this money to these terrorist organizations. And
unelected bureaucrats.
And unelected bureaucrats. That's exactly what I was going to say next. So everybody's complicit in that. And except for the guy who says, hey, we shouldn't be sending this money to them, right? But it's no surprise to me. I've known that for a long time. I think everybody has.
Well, I can't tell you how many fellow veterans I still talk to across the country. And when this USAID news has come out, they're all like, oh, I can't tell you how many debriefs I wrote where we were talking about what a waste USAID was doing here, and how they were actually going against our interests on the ground. A freaking scam.
Are you?
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
I may not have time to play the audio for you. There's great audio. I shared it. Go to x.com/Aaron Flint. I think the Trump War Room shared this, but VA Secretary Doug Collins, he's the guy, he's that Southern guy who's like, you know, this is a big whopper without a tomato. He's a character. He released a new video where he believes they have identified $2 billion in wasteful spending inside the VA that can actually be given to veterans' health care instead of all this other BS. I want to get George's take on that on this Freedom Friday, because, you know, he's been, you know, working to try to help fix the VA for a number of years in a volunteer veterans capacity, just to help out his fellow veterans. But first, let's get to our next caller on the phone lines. We've got Lisa in Carbon County. Lisa, what's on your mind?
I wanted to talk energy, and I wanted to start by saying that you were correct. Three positions on the PSC in that bill would have been appointed by the governor, two elected for a total of five. But what disappoints me is that the ratepayers, that means us, the taxpayers, the residents that live here in Montana, are not paying close enough attention to what our public service commissioners are up to. Every rate increase has been approved by our PSC commissioners, and it's usually by a 4-1 vote, with only Commissioner Randy Pinocchi voting down the rate increases. Our electrical costs are absolutely astronomical, and the four PSC commissioners, Fielder, Annie Bukacek, Wellborn, and Brad Molnar from Yellowstone, are the ones voting in these rate increase for cooperative executives. For example, in the MDU cooperative, where their top executives are making between $1 and $3.5 million apiece, and yet they keep on claiming they need more money and putting it on the backs of the ratepayers. I don't know why Pinocchi is the only one that's standing up. This is all, I read all this based on a letter to the editor from a resident in that MDU district, and I think it's shameful. We need to pay more attention as citizens to what's going on and to how we can reduce and how the PSC Commission can possibly lead the way with the new technologies that are out there. And I'm really glad that President Trump is saying he's going to bring back coal and not let coal transmission plants and coal mines be decommissioned. So thank you very much.
Hey, thank you, Lisa. No, I appreciate the phone call. Yeah, I mean, the biggest challenge facing, from my perspective, any of these PSC members is like, okay, you get this rate hike put in front of you, and yeah, it'd be tough to say yes to any of these rate hikes, if you ask me. And what's really frustrating, though, is that for you know, how many years, 16 years of Democrat governors, they were pushing this green energy scam on people, and at the same time, they were shutting down Colstrip, and we're paying the price for it. But I think fundamentally the biggest change, as Lisa pointed out, is getting Donald Trump in there, and we've got an energy secretary like Chris Wright. I think they're going to finally start taking a whack at this. Because, yeah, you've had a 30% increase in inflation for electricity in the past, three or four years under the Biden administration. And so if you're a public service commissioner, okay, well, if the costs are going up everywhere, what do you do? I do think there are times where they could be more aggressive in at least questioning these rate hikes. George, your thoughts. And Lisa, thanks again for the call.
That was a great call and obviously an informed person. And I thank her for that. She's absolutely right. People don't pay attention to that. They don't know what the public service commissioner does. They just vote because, well, I don't know, that name sounds good. But, yeah, you got to be informed. You have to educate yourselves. And it's interesting to hear what she had to say. I would have to look some of that stuff up. But I applaud her for being educated.
We've only got a couple minutes to go, but let's sneak on Marilyn in Lolo. Marilyn, great to hear from you. What's on your mind?
Good morning. So I'm curious. These congressmen whose names are being protected from the Epstein file reports, are they the same, some of the same people that are allowing this money from USAID to go to the terrorists? And if so, they're not only perverts, but they're traitors. So their names need to come out. I don't care how much money is connected to them. I mean, yeah, I do care, especially if it's going to terrorists and other foreign things that aren't, you know, American, aren't pro-America. So I'm just curious.
Yeah, that's a great question. And are they some of the same members of Congress that had secret settlements involving, you know, sexual discrimination or assault before Congress? And somehow that gets kept quiet, too, George.
Yeah,
great question.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I got minutes to go,
the VA. Or you got something else
the
you
VA,
want to talk about?
No, I just want to point out that since 2021, VA funding has increased by $123 billion. That's a 50% increase in their budget since 2001.
So the $2 billion that's being identified in waste, fraud, and abuse
is a drop in the bucket.
A drop in the bucket.
$123 billion since 2021, 50% increase. So you can't tell me, don't listen to this hysterical nonsense BS that veterans aren't going to be taken care of because of these cuts. They waste more money there. There's $134 billion in discretionary funding this year. So don't give me that crap that veterans aren't going to be taken care of.
Well,
they waste money.
Hey, I was at a great event, a fundraiser for Operation Juliet. And by the way, go to OperationJuliet.org if you want to help these female veterans. They're putting on female veteran retreats. But anyway, but we had an idea last night. What if they take the savings that they identify in this VA fraud, waste, and abuse, $2 billion, maybe more, and just cut a check to veterans instead? Let them use that for their own health care or whatever, mental health, whatever they need. I thought it was an interesting idea. George Blackard, happy Freedom Friday. So great to see you back in Montana.
Thanks, Aaron.